Hey there, friend. I'm Susan, and this is the Spark Chasers podcast, a series dedicated to the educational changemakers who embrace creativity, seek out challenges, and collaborate on solutions. This is a show for any educator looking to explore the creative side in the classroom, business, and life. So grab a cup of caffeine, your favorite flare pen, and let's chat about what's now and what could be next.
Hey there, friend. Welcome back to another episode of Spark Chasers. I'm your host, Susan Riley. And at the time that I'm recording this, it is the end of May 2021. And we have survived another school year during a pandemic. And all of that seems like there is a theme that keeps resonating in my head as we're at the end of this school year and we've gone through another year in the pandemic. And I've watched so many people go through so many different things in regards to this pandemic, but also regular life. There's a theme that just keeps coming into my head, and that is forgiveness, which probably sounds odd, but stay with me for a minute. We have talked a lot about social emotional health for our students, but if I'm really honest, I'm not hearing nearly as much emphasis on what that looks like for teachers and others who have been on the front lines during this pandemic. And let's be honest, it's been a traumatic event. I mean, it's post-traumatic stress syndrome is real. And I believe that if you have taught in this environment in the last 2 years, you are probably facing some sort of trauma that you need to process, not to mention the fact of everyday life and what happens when we're busy making plans, you know, as John Lennon says. And so I'm really concerned about the emotional health and well-being of our group of educators that span the world. I think every educator at some level has been impacted by this. And I have teachers have they've gotten the support that they've needed during this time, right? I don't particularly think so. And I would venture to guess that most of our audience would agree with me. In fact, we just put out a Friday conversation question on our social media feeds that, you know, what is a word that you would be glad to never hear again in education? And I was struck by how many teachers said the word grace. And so I remember asking several of them questions like, why do you say that? Why would you really prefer not to hear the word grace? And many of them, I mean, I'm saying the majority here, mentioned that while grace has been the key word for students, and it's been an expectation to provide grace for students and for parents, that same expectation of grace has not been granted to educators. And how traumatic is that, that we are expected to give grace to our students, but grace has not been extended to us and all of the things that we are dealing with, right? And so, I believe that there is an underlying component of forgiveness that needs to happen for that. And many of us are not ready to forgive yet, right? But it should be a part of the conversation, because at some point, if we can't forgive, which does not mean accept, but if we cannot forgive how we have been treated in this event, or in whatever situation that you're facing, we will hold bitterness and resentment. And unfortunately, it will poison our jobs, right? Another question that keeps coming up for me is, you know, now that there is a vaccine available, there's even more upheaval. So should you get it? Should you not? How does that make you feel? That's a whole other component of our trauma and how we move forward and how others choose to move forward and the fact that we cannot control others and how each of those components, you know, whether or not somebody does get the vaccine and how you feel about that, how that helps us to relate to one another or not, or acts as a roadblock. And as we're winding down the school year, this also comes with a release of the feelings that we've been holding in. So as educators, many of us have been holding in our feelings about this whole thing just to get through the year. No matter where you stand on the spectrum of this whole event, you've been holding that, right? And so what happens at the end of the school year is that many of us are going to see a release of those feelings, much like when you are in a serious car accident and your body is pumping with adrenaline to keep you awake and alive, right? But once your body relaxes for a moment, maybe to get the CAT scan or to get the MRI, suddenly your body shuts down because the adrenaline is no longer pumping, right? The same is going to happen for us at the end of this year as we begin to release those feelings that we've been holding so tight, that adrenaline that we've been holding. As we begin to release that, we're going to see a lot of resentment and anger and frustration and exasperation, along with a confusing mix of joy and real happiness from working with our students this year. All of that is going to come tumbling out. And as we begin to process this, forgiveness will be something that I think we're going to have to start to reconcile. Because anytime we have these feelings of hurt, forgiveness for that hurt is an option and an opportunity. Now, currently, I'm reading the book Forgiving What You Can't Forget. And there is an exercise in there that my own therapist has had me do in the past, which can be helpful in situations like this. And I thought I'd share it with you today in the hopes that no matter what life situation you're in, whether it be this or something else entirely, you can find a way through the hurt to the other side, which is what real social emotional health looks like. So, the idea that forgiveness is both a decision and a process is really important here, right? You have to actively decide that you're ready and willing to move forward. So as you're closing out this year and you begin to get this overwhelming sense of these feelings that are starting to rush out, right? I want you to remember this. You can choose to forgive or not. That is up to you. And if you're not ready to forgive just yet, that is totally understandable. But if it's something that you decide you want to do so that you can let it go and then move forward in education or in your position or wherever you are, then understand that forgiveness is both a decision and a process, right? So once you actively decide that you're ready and willing to move forward, then the process of forgiveness can begin. And one of the first steps to this process is collecting previous experiences that have shaped you. So this exercise that my therapist Jennifer shared with me a long time ago that I've actually used quite a bit is called collect the dots, connect the dots, correct the dots. All right. So the first part is called collecting the dots. You're going to go back through your own life experiences and write down significant events that shaped who you are and your perceptions of the world right now. You're not looking at events that have just occurred. So I'm not talking within the last 2 years. I'm talking go way back and think about all of the significant events, milestones, markers that somehow changed you, that somehow changed your worldview or impacted your worldview. So I have found in my own process that sitting down and bullet journaling everything that I can remember that has had an impact on me is helpful. And from there, I can start to look at the mess and begin to place each item into themes or periods of time. Because when you have all of it spread out, it seems like a lot. But once you start to kind of compile those things into large buckets, you can begin to process them a little bit. So for example, in my own bullet journal, I have written items about the trauma of moving when I was 12, the loss of control over decision making, worrying about how to afford college, taking on more adult responsibility than I should have at a young age. These are all things that I know impacted me and my perceptions of the world. And all of those things are wrapped up under the bucket of the bankruptcy that my family went through when I turned 12. So when that happened, all of these other things were a direct result of that impact, right? Of that force of impact. So when I can write everything down first and then group them into categories, it helps me to see not only what has led to my current worldview, but also why. So, and that's where the connect the dots comes in. So we're going to get there. But your first action step in this process is to write down significant experiences or moments, and then to try to find groupings for your items. And you're going to have multiple groupings, right? And so how that, those sections, those groupings then have impacted your overall view, and that leads to the why, which is going to lead us into step number two, which is connecting the dots. Now, connecting the dots is what people say when they're trying to figure out why something happened, right? And so when they're going back and they're saying, let's connect the dots, and then they kind of pull these things together. But you can't do that unless you've actually collected the dots first, which is why I like this process. It forces us to slow down and not just jump into let's figure out the why, but actually figure out all the what. Because sometimes we don't dig enough into the what. And the what is impacting the why. So once you have your list of collected dots and have grouped them into themes, then you can begin to look at how those themes or groupings have impacted your choices and what role they play in your responses to significant events. So in terms of the pandemic, look at how your collected dots have driven your decisions on how to keep yourself and others safe. Consider how your collection of dots influence your decision on a daily basis around whatever it is that is currently impacting you. So for our example, we're using the pandemic, but in your life, it could be that you just discovered your mother has Alzheimer's, and it is a really traumatic event for you right now, and you're trying to figure out why your response is maybe different than your siblings, right? And your siblings are frustrating you right now because you don't understand why. So go back and look at your collection of dots and then figure out, how do I connect those into themes? And how is that impacting both my decisions and the other person's? This can work for anything that you are currently going through, which is why I like it. So I'm just using the pandemic as a framework right now, but it's important that no matter what you're going through, you give yourself the time to process this effectively. So if I look back, if I'm looking at this in the framework of the pandemic, and I want to look at how the collected dots have driven my decision on how to keep myself and others safe, in terms of that pandemic, certainly using the example of the collected dots that I just shared earlier, that definitely influenced my choices on how we run our company and how we made sure everyone kept their jobs and felt secure. That was really important for me, that everybody felt safe and secure and that they didn't worry about their paycheck. That was important to me. How I chose to purchase items for both our company and our family in a very tumultuous economic time, right? Other business owners and educators who didn't have my previous life experience may have made different choices, right? They may have decided to lay off a lot of people because that kept the doors open and they could maybe bring them back later. Whereas I did not want to do that at all, right? I wanted everybody to feel as though business is normal, it's okay, everything's gonna be okay. And certainly, my experience as a kid of what that looks like when a business does go down, I didn't want that to happen for our employees. So, you know, it definitely impacted my decision-making process. Now, neither is right or wrong. How I chose to run our business, how I chose to make sure that we were still supporting educators and keeping the lights on is not the right way to do it versus somebody else who decided to lay off employees to allow them to get onto unemployment quickly. Neither is right or wrong. It's just the way that we've each chosen to handle the situation based on the collection of dots that we have in our past, right? This idea of collecting the dots and connecting to the dots help us move through the process of forgiveness. Because if we can connect the dots for ourselves, we can begin to see how to do that with others. So it doesn't excuse choices. It doesn't mean we have to accept them. It just means that we are able to understand the why behind the choices that were made. So for example, if your school decided to stay open and not require masks of students, and that scared you and it made you very uncomfortable and you disagreed with that decision vehemently and were frustrated because you had to come to work because you had no other choice, that is a response based on your collection of dots. And that's neither right nor wrong. Right? It's just an understanding of here is my previous life experience and here is why that's impacting my frustration level and my upset. And I don't understand this decision. And then trying to put yourself in the other person's shoes, this is where the forgiveness component comes in. Thinking about the decision process that was made. What were their collection of dots? What were their life experience? And how did they connect them in order to make that decision? Here's the difference. This allows us to forgive because we then understand them. It doesn't mean we have to accept it, and it doesn't mean that we have to condone it. Forgiveness does not equal acceptance, right? It's just a process that we can use to help us heal. And that's where the correction of the dots comes in. The last step to this process is correcting the dots. And this is what I think is most valuable because it puts you in the driver's seat, even when you feel like everything else is out of your control. In this phase, we are looking critically at our collection of dots and how they are connected to our previous choices. And then we get to ask the question, is this still true? And that's pretty powerful because many of our choices are based in assumptions from previous experiences, which no longer hold water. And we don't even realize it. We are just going through this process because this is what we know. But is what we know actually still true? We have to challenge those assumptions and, if necessary, correct them. Sometimes those assumptions are still valid. Right? And we don't have to correct those, but there are still some assumptions that we may hold, which are no longer true. And we do need the process of correcting them. So in my example, one of my first assumptions when the pandemic hit, and we were ordered to close our offices on March 13th, was that the economy was going to tank. I wouldn't be able to keep anyone on our staff. I'd have to shut everything down and we wouldn't be able to survive. Now, none of that happened, not even close. But because of my previous experiences, I began to quickly go down this rabbit hole because my previous dots were telling me that this is what happens when the unexpected takes place in the economy. Because in my previous experience, that's what happened for my parents' bankruptcy, right? So it was important for me to ask the question in that scenario, is this still true about each element? Is it still true that I don't have any control? No. I'm an adult now and I have the opportunity to course correct and make changes. I didn't have that opportunity as a child, but I do now. So one of the things you're going to want to look at is what is an assumption that you have made? What was the process, the progress of that assumption? What did that look like? What thoughts then came into place, you know, like a dominoes, a series of dominoes, this. Were those assumptions still true? And if yes, then you don't need to correct it. But if no, if that didn't happen, or if something maybe surprising happened, or you saw something else maybe that didn't quite align with that, you might have to go back and take a look and think, do I need to correct any of those assumptions? Now, this is the step that is crucial for us to move beyond the bitterness, the anger, the resentment, the hurt, and the frustration that we have experienced, and towards forgiveness and peace and the ability to make a change and a difference. So my challenge for you here in this step is to consider your collection of dots, how they have impacted your decision so far, and then ask yourself, are these assumptions still true? And if not, what can I do to change them or to heal from them? And again, this can be in respect to the year that we've gone through as educators, or it could be in whatever situation you're facing right now. Now, this section can prompt us to ask questions such as, how can this hurt make me better and not worse? That's an empowering statement, and it helps us to, again, not feel as though we are complete victims, but have an opportunity to make something better from this. How might I look at this differently? Or is there a redeeming part of this story that I can focus on? You know, so many educators did see some really positive things that came out of this year. And while maybe the sum total has not been great, maybe there were components that were a light or a joy. And you can focus there and think about, how can I make that a part of this story in a bigger way, or a way that helps me reframe or rethink some of the other trauma that I've had to experience? And then once we answer those questions, we can do the following. We can be honest with the feelings that we're having. And I think this is something that a lot of leaders, I'm talking to you, my principal friends and my superintendent friends, we don't want people to vocalize those, not because we don't want to hear them, but because we're afraid that it's going to lead people to just be angry and resentful and bitter all the time, and that we're not going to be able to get out of it. But in reality, it's really important for people to be able to be honest about their feelings and share those openly, and to feel heard and acknowledged and validated for them. Because unless we're willing to be honest with our feelings, we can't really address them, right? There was an experience over a decade now, when I worked with a school district this school district was just really struggling. They made a lot of poor decisions in terms of their, you know, teachers, in terms of supporting their teachers. Their teachers felt like they were not seen or heard at all. And so leadership and teachers were not working well together. And I was brought in to try to get the teachers on board with arts integration. And I knew instinctively in that moment, what those teachers really needed was not another arts integration strategy, but just a moment to be really honest about how they're feeling with a third party, so that they could at least allow themselves a moment to not have to try to hide. And so we gathered around a circle, and I just let them for a half hour say everything that they were feeling. And about 20 minutes in, the superintendent came in and wanted to sit in on the group. And I remember looking at him, who's the person who was, you know, who had brought me in. And I said to him, you need to leave. This is not for you. They need this moment. You need to leave now. We'll be better in just a little bit. And you can come back when we get back on track. But right now, this is a more important. And so I think make sure that we're honest with our feelings. Don't be afraid of the feelings that come up. Bring them out into the light, because that is how we can deal with them better. Another thing that we can do is to check possible distortions with trusted friends or colleagues. So check those dots. Go to somebody that you trust and say, here's how I'm feeling, and I know my life experience that leads me here. Have I distorted what's actually going on because of my previous experiences? Or is this how you see it too? Sometimes we just need to kind of gut check it, right? With a trusted friend. And then also give yourself time to process through everything before making big decisions. Again, this is a process. And when that adrenaline comes down and all these feelings begin to rush out, and we are left to try to pick up the pieces, you have to understand that it's going to take time. And it might take more than, you know, the summer months. It might take a really long time, and that's okay. Give yourself the time that you need to process through everything before you make a big decision that might change everything once again. At the end of the day, we've all had to live through an enormous amount of trauma, and there will be things that we want or need to forgive. And if that's difficult for you right now, I definitely understand. But hopefully, this framework of collect, connect, and correct the dots can help you find healing and peace in some way. And now I'd love to hear your thoughts and questions about this topic. Remember, you can use the Ask Me Anything button on the podcast page to share with me your ideas and what's bubbling to the surface for you. Just head over to artsintegration.com/sparkchasers and you'll find today's show notes, contact area, and links for more resources. And if you're enjoying the show and know someone who could benefit from our discussions, please share the podcast with them. Now, next week, we begin our interview series and our mini sessions from our conference that's coming up on July 15th and 16th. So our conference, our Arts Integration and STEAM conference, we have Julie Andrews as a keynote speaker along with Laura Benanti and over 15 other sessions that are going to be fantastic. And over the next several weeks, I'm going to be interviewing several of our conference presenters and speakers who are going to share even more insights that they weren't able to kind of share with us during the conference event. So you're definitely going to want to tune in. Next week, we're starting with Shelley Hutchinson, who has appeared on So You Think You Can Dance, The Today Show, so many other places. I'm excited for you to hear from her. And if you haven't already signed up for the conference, definitely be sure to check it out. It's over at artsintegrationconference.com. Remember that together we can chase the spark of our ideas and make a brighter future for everyone. I'll see you soon.
Well, check that off your list, my friend. You just finished another episode of the Spark Chasers podcast. If you want more, head over to artsintegration.com/sparkchasers for show notes, a space to tell me what you thought of today's show, and links to what we talked about today. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. This helps others find the show so we can all grow and learn together. Can't wait to get together again soon.